When I was about 23 years old, I had been out of college a couple years, and I was an unchurched Harry, so to speak. I was raised Catholic, but it meant very little to me. So I was oriented a little bit towards God, but didn't it make any difference in my life at all. And believe me, at this point in my life, I was running with the best of them. I lived most of my life addicted to athletics, and since graduating from college, I picked up the habit of being addicted to the 12-ounce cold ones, and the meetings with opposite sex was very important to me. So I was, to say the least, I was partying with the best of them. A couple years out of college, I got a phone call from a previous friend of mine who had, in my past, had begun to open my eyes to the person of Jesus Christ. But up to this point in time, it really never clicked in. Well, this person gave me a call out of the clear blue and invited me to this place called Willow Creek Community Church. Well, the timing might have been divine as I look back on it, because at that time I was, again, trying to seek pleasure in as many ways as I could, but ultimately I was coming up with nothing. So I was somewhat open, actually. I was a seeker, and the person's phone call was very timely. So they called me up, invited me out to this place called Willow Creek Church. I got in my 71 Dodge Charger, had a hangover, drove 37 miles out here, and came into the service. It was the 9 o'clock Sunday morning service. Well, to make a long story short, everything that I had learned about Jesus Christ and Christianity that morning, it all came together for me. And I really did have one of those Apostle Paul conversions. I went home after that service, and I got down on my knees, and I, from that point on, I knew who Jesus Christ was, and I made a deep, firm, lifelong commitment to follow Him. And my life, obviously, has never been the same. So I just started pursuing Jesus Christ with reckless abandonment. I was very attracted to what this church had to offer. So I was, again, driving 37 miles one way, as many times as I could get out to this church to get whatever they had to offer. A couple months down the road, I was driving over here, and I realized that there was one big hole in my faith, and that was I had no Christian friends. I would drive over here by myself, sit down, absorb as much as I could, get tapes and books, and take off, but nobody to process everything that I was learning. That was the time that I thought I would check out this ministry called Prime Time, which was the ministry for single adults. And so I'll never forget that particular night where I came over. I was scared to death. I didn't know anyone. I drove in the parking lot. I've told this story many times with our ministry, but I sat out in my car for at least 15 minutes wondering, should I go in? Should I? And I finally got the courage to get out of my car and walk in this place filled with single adults. Well, I got in there. I sat down. I absorbed the program. But I still didn't make many connections until, again, this was obviously divinely inspired. Somebody tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around. They introduced themselves. We got to talking, and he invited me out after the primetime event to actually a local Christian concert. So not knowing him, knowing I wanted to make some friends, I decided to go out with them. That, again, was a real turning point in my spiritual pilgrimage, because that particular individual took me under his wing, and for the next 3 years, he discipled me. He poured out his life. He taught me how to be a Christian. He got me involved in some initial stages of leadership, and it was through him that I started meeting many other people in the church and started plugging in various areas to develop my leadership gifts. Well, I ended up going away to get some Bible training, and then I ended up back at Willow Creek. And there was the person who was leading Primetime at that time was making a transition to seminary. And that's when a door opened. And at that time, Don Cousins was responsible for hiring staff. And he called me into his office one day and asked me if I could pick the baton of leadership up and lead the ministry of Primetime. And so I had no full-time ministry experience at that time, but I was willing. And I told him I'd give it my best shot and we'll see where it went. Well, the rest is history. I've been here now 8 years. A lot of other single adult ministries have developed since I've been here. And I'm still as fired up and as impassioned as ever before about single adults. The reason I share my story is not just so that you can get to know me a little bit, but it is to say that the purpose of this seminar and the purpose of single adult ministry is to learn how we can better reach the John Bodines of our world. There are a lot of them out there, believe me. I believe just in the last couple of years, there's now more single adults in the United States than there are married couples. So our whole society is turning more and more towards single adult. There is a huge fishing pond of single adults, and it's our responsibility as the local church to figure out how can we reach these single adults, not just bring them across the line of salvation, but once they're in our churches, how can we disciple them and grow them up so that they can be fruitful Christians? That's the purpose of the seminar. And I hope by the time you walk out of here, in about another 70, 80, 90 minutes or so, you will have acquired at least one, two, three tools in your toolbox, so to speak, on how you can be a more effective single adult minister. Now, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to divide our time in half. The first part, I'm going to stand up here and share some of the transferable principles and practices of beginning and building a single adult ministry. Along the way, throughout that presentation, I'm going to be illustrating these transferable principles and practices with things that we do in our single adult ministries. Over the course of these 8 years, I've learned that it's not wise to just take a snapshot of what we're doing with singles and then throwing it out there. We're all in different places. And so what I hope to do is communicate everything. Everything that I communicate would be transferable into your unique situation. And then the second half of our seminar, we're going to break the group in half for a time of question and answer. Again, experience has told us that there's two very different groups in here today. The first group is involved in a traditional church ministry with traditional single adult ministry. And you just want to pick up a couple helps on how you can have a better single adult ministry in that context. And I've got some of my teammates who are on staff with me who are going to assist during that question and answer time. And then the second group, we're going to leave and have a same question and answer time for people who are doing more seeker-targeted Willow Creek-style single adult ministry. And usually what we find is those questions are very different. Okay? So that's where we're going. Again, I hope this is a profitable time for you. Now, as Christine, one of my teammates, she's the lady that's passing these out, she's going to pass out a handout that we're going to walk through about half of it. As she's doing that, when you look at single adult ministry across the country, and I've had the opportunity to do that, I've had the opportunity to do some consultation nationally and been involved in getting some exposure to what single adults are doing. What you find is some bad news and some good news. The bad news about single adult ministry, if we really are to be honest with each other, is that, generally speaking, the condition of single adult ministry in the United States is not very good. And I hate to even say that because this is the ministry that I love the most. But to be honest, it's really true. If we were to take a survey, even today, of all the senior pastors that are here for this conference, and we were to poll them and ask them, you know, are you excited about single adult ministry in your church or from what you've seen? I would bet that the marks would be pretty low. Single adult ministry up to this point in time, again, generally speaking, is not very positive. But the good news is that I believe that single adult ministry can be the most effective sub-ministry in the local church. And I believe that that's biblically mandated. I believe that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was trying to communicate when he talked about the advantages of being single. A single adult, generally speaking, has the energy, they've got more time to devote to the building of the kingdom. They've got the potential to not be as distracted as Paul talks about. Single adult ministry can be the major weapon in the life of the local church. And that's what we believe at Willow Creek. And as we walk through, you'll see Willow Creek places a tremendous emphasis on single adult ministries. Why? Because they see it as a positive, aggressive ministry weapon. And that's what we're going to try to paint a picture for today. Now, if you want to turn to the first page, it's entitled Starting a Dynamic Single Adult Ministry, Six Strategic Steps. That's where we're going to start out today. As I've had opportunity to sit down with pastors and leaders of single adult ministries, this is what I have worked through for years. Sometimes it's on a napkin or a piece of scratch paper. What I want to do is take a couple steps back from the programs and what do you do, and talk about what's the foundation for a successful single adult ministry in the context of a local church. What this might force you to do in your own context of ministry is to take a couple steps back and see if you've laid this foundation. Okay, so let's just start out. And I'm going to illustrate, as I said, what we do at Willow Creek as I walk through this. Starting out with step one, the church must have a clearly defined mission and strategy. The single adult ministry must make a unique contribution to the success of this mission. When I talk about the church, I'm saying the overall church has to have their mission and their strategy spelled out in order for the single adult ministry to be effective. Why? Because as single adult ministries, we exist to serve the overall mission of the church. We're not a parachurch organization. We're not a split-off group trying to do our own thing while the big church, is trying to do this. I believe it's very important that single adult ministries play a significant role in the overall success of the church. Now, you guys have had some exposure already this morning to what Willow Creek is all about. You know what our vision, our mission is all about. It's to attract unchurched Harry and Marys that are sitting out there in no relationship with Christ and bring them into a relationship with Christ where ultimately they become what we've labeled around Willow Creek as fully devoted followers. That's what Willow Creek Church is all about. We've come up with a seven-step strategy. I'm assuming you've walked through the seven steps already today, so you guys are familiar with that. Willow Creek has adopted a seven-step strategy on how we're going to get unchurched Terry to become fully devoted follower. That's fantastic for our ministry, because now the question that we ask ourselves is what unique contribution does the single adult ministry make in order to make this happen? And I would venture that all of the ministries at Willow Creek, I believe there are over 90 now, ask the same question. We all are a sub-ministry and we all exist. Somehow we plug in to the overall mission of the church. We're not all doing our own thing, so there's 90 different things going on. We all play a strategic part. And so it's critical. It starts here, as we're going to see developed more as we move through. Step two, the senior pastor must have a vision for single adult ministry and hire an impassioned, gifted point person to fulfill the ministry. Again, let's be honest. The senior pastor, 99.9% of the times, they ultimately call the shots. They ultimately are the ones that has the authority to give us staff, give us resources, bless us with ministry opportunities and finances. They're the person, as we want to build our ministries, that we want on our team. We want their blessing. So it's important for the senior pastor to have a vision for single adult ministry and then to adopt, to hire, if possible. Sometimes initially it's not possible to hire somebody, but you want to get to the point where they hire what we have called around Willow Creek a point person. A point person is simply a person who's passionate, gifted, and called for that particular ministry. I am a point person for single adult ministries because I am impassioned about single adults. There's nothing else anywhere in ministry that I'd rather do than serve the single adult. I believe I've got the giftedness by God to do what I'm called. What I see running rampant throughout single adult ministries is the senior pastor is getting bombarded with these singles who say, aren't you going to do something for us? And then he finds somebody on his staff saying, hey, listen, take 25% of your job, do something with those singles over there, would you? Okay. So the guy comes over here. Okay, what do you guys want to do? It's not a point person. They don't care. It's just part of their job. That's foundational. You've got to have a leader that's fired up for single adults. Then, step three, the point person distinguishes between the varieties of single adult ministries. Single adult ministries is different than junior high, high school, kids ministry, because we start about age 18 and we go to whatever, 100, 115, as long as they're single adults. That's our common denominator. So whereas high school, they got the set 4 years. That's their common denominator. Single adults, there are a variety of subgroups. I've listed a few of them there. All of them have very different needs. The only common denominator, essentially, is that they're single adult. So if you try to meet all of their needs, you'll end up meeting none of their needs. That's another very common mistake, is you just have one thing for single adults. And so the 18-year-old shows up with the 35-year-old. And he's like, oh, brother, this is out. And they're out of there. And that's about as far as it goes. So distinguish between the rise of single adult ministries. Willow Creek, and I've seen it distinguishing marks very different around the country, but Willow Creek, this is how we divide up our ministries. We start out with Prime Time, and that's a ministry that targets people from the ages of 18 to 30. Right now we're in the process of changing our terminology a little bit, so we're really going to label Prime Time as 20s. Then we've got another ministry, we call it Focus. They're the ministry that's designed to meet the single adults who are in their 30s. Then we've got another ministry called Quest, and they're 40s plus. But just recently we've looked at that and we said, wow, there are two very different groups once you hit 40. There's really the 40 to 50, 53, 54, 55, and then there are the retirees. Very different groups. Then, what's very common in our society now is divorce recovery ministry. We have a divorce recovery ministry. It's called Rebuilders. And we have one other single adult ministry. It's called, I'm forgetting, not Rainbow. What is it? Grasp. Thanks. I just slipped my mind. Grasp. And that's for single adults with children. So we've made those distinctions. I want to be quick to say that our single adult ministry started off with one single adult ministry. And over time, as the needs began to grow, and as one ministry became established, we would birth another ministry. I'm talking about getting to this point over the last 18 years. Okay? So, making that distinction is very important. Step 4 and 5 are very close. Step 4, the point person and senior pastor determines what is the unique contribution or the mission of the single adult ministry. This mission is put in writing, and a deliverable is agreed upon. What is it you're trying to do? What is it you're trying to accomplish? It's got to be more than just getting single adults together. And, you know, having a Bible there, having somebody with a guitar there. Define the mission. And we're actually going to talk about that more as our seminar progresses. But this is the vision, is that you could come to the senior pastor with what I've called a deliverable, saying, you give us this staff, you give us these resources, and this is what we're going to hand back to you in a year's time. Deliver back to the church. What, again, it goes back to, what is your unique contribution? What is your single adult ministry called to do? Pick one thing and then contract with the single or with the senior pastor or with the elder board and say, in 12 months, this is what we're delivering to you. Our single adult ministry is on a mission. We are not just a club. We are not just a gathering. We are a group of people who are gathering together for a mission that God has given us. And we are, by the power of God, we are going to do everything we can do to accomplish that. That's a ministry. That's a group of people who have destiny. And you'll see, with that kind of excitement and mission and vision, you'll get people to jump on board because you're going somewhere. You're just not a group that just sits there and people are kind of collecting and leaving. You're a battleship that's moving out into the waters to do some damage. Step 5, the point person targets one of these groups and temporarily excludes the others. I mentioned that briefly. But as we listed those different types of groups, I really recommend that you target one age group. Do it really well. Concentrate your resources on it. And this is controversial, I admit, because you'll have people like, why are you doing that for them? What about us? My only answer is, you're never going to meet their needs unless you do one ministry really well, and that gives birth to another ministry, that gives birth to another ministry. It does take time, but we've seen it work at Willow Creek Church. And I believe that is a real key to success. Do one ministry really well, with excellence, and that will inspire and birth new ministries. And lastly, the point person begins to recruit and disciple key lay leaders upon which the ministry will be built. This team begins to start their strategic planning process. That's an obvious one, I think. But yet, this is another stumbling block in single adult ministries. I believe that single adult ministries needs to be driven by lay volunteers, not by one staff person. If you build it on one staff person, it will only get so big and so deep because one person is limited. But the mentality needs to be that the staff person gathers, recruits, disciples, highly qualified lay people who will do the work of the ministry. That's our job as staff. And then your ministry has the potential to grow beyond what the one person can do. And then this team, let me go back to this whole thing about mission because this is such a hot button with me. Again, your key volunteers, your key leaders, those people, this is what we've found, they are always busy. They're usually wrapped up in some other venture, some other ministry, because these are the people that make things happen. Quality people don't sit around twiddling their thumbs hoping they get a phone call. They're people who make their life count. They're not even going to want to hear about some group that's not going somewhere, that's not making a dent, that's not fulfilling a mission. That's why if you have a mission, you can sit across the table at lunch with somebody who you really feel can make a difference in your ministry, and you can sell them on that vision. And those are the people, their schedules are going to be packed. But if the mission is worthy of their time, they will give up other things in their schedule and they'll jump on board with what you've got going. So, those are the people you want to go after, those key lay leaders, and build your ministry upon them. And then you move into what I've referred to as strategic planning process. And let's just walk through that, and that's going to take us up until the end of this part of the seminar, and then we'll open it up for questions and answers, because I probably am causing more questions than you're getting answered. So anyway, flipping the page, the single adult ministry strategic planning process. Right up front, there's some disclaimers. This planning process takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of hard work. I really recommend that this is done with a team of people, your core group. How our whole single adult ministry was started was by Don Cousins. He got a vision for the impact that single adult ministries could have at Willow Creek Church. This was about 16 years ago. And what he did was step six. Actually, he did all those steps. He got permission from Bill Hybels to start it, He went to step six. He gathered around him 15 key volunteers, some of which are still floating around to this point. He met with those people for a year behind closed doors. Nobody even knew what was going on. And he discipled them, and he envisioned them. And they did a lot of this strategic planning. So the day came when they pulled the curtain on single adult ministries. They opened the doors. It was Friday night, and they knew where they were going. They had a leadership base established. And obviously, 17 years later, 16 years later, the single adult ministry is still flourishing. And I can honestly credit it to the solid foundation that Don Cousins led as a result of going through these strategic planning steps. And by the way, these steps are derived from Nehemiah 1 and 2. I just love those two chapters in the Bible. Talk about a guy who had a vision and a mission and was able to recruit people around him and make a difference for God. Incredible. If you have time, refer back to it. I think you'll find these steps to flow right out of them. One other disclaimer, and that is just ironic to me, that right now, our own single adult ministry team at Willow Creek is right in the middle of this strategic planning process. We do this every year. And I, speaking for myself, this is by far and away the most intense time of my year. Because these meetings, what's generated from walking through these steps, dictates the next 12 months. And there's a lot of people's lives involved. And there's a lot of resources and staff responsibilities. So it's really heavy. And we just met yesterday. I think it was our third or fourth big chunk of time as a team. And, you know, it was tough. Roll up your sleeves. Hard work. And we've got a few more meetings left before we get through. But I'll walk through these anyway. And even though we're in the midst of making changes, I'll share some of the things that we've decided and we're in the midst of deciding upon. So let's jump in. Number one, evaluate your existing ministry. You can evaluate ministries in a variety of ways. We didn't spend a whole lot of time doing this because I think we are constantly evaluating our ministry. We really scrutinize everything we do. So when it came time to this, we didn't put a lot of priority on it, but we did take some time. We got a flip chart out. We took some of our bigger pieces of our ministry and we just put a positive and negative and said, what's good about that? What was not good? And I think we spent about an hour, hour and a half evaluating the status of our ministry. Following that, we sat and we talked about vision. What picture of a preferable future has God burdened us with that He wants to give up our lives? He wants us to give up our lives and to fulfill. For us, it was unanimous. He wants us to be about turning irreligious single adults into fully devoted followers. This is the heartbeat of what our single adult ministry team is all about. This is what gets us out of bed. And ultimately, I would hope that this is what would even motivate us to give up our very lives for. This is what we're all about. This is our vision. And I think whether it was at Willow Creek or whether it was in California or some other country, this is what we would be about. This is the vision that God has given us. So we talked about that. And we affirm that. And then we moved on to number three, assess the needs of our ministry. Christine, could you pass out that handout on needs as I'm going through it? Actually, you might get a little help there. We can get that out a little quicker. There's a lot of ways you can discern the needs of your ministry. But bottom line, this is a lot of what ministry is all about, is meeting needs for Christ. So it's almost an obvious. We need to be in touch with what are the needs of single adults. Now, I've been doing this on staff for 8 years. I've been involved in single adult ministry now, since 1981, 12 years. I still, every year, am constantly going over this. What are their needs? What are their needs? What are their needs? It's so important to try to determine what are their needs so that we can do the best possible job at meeting them. The handout that you've just received is just a tool that we use this year. We just made this up. And we wrote down what we thought were probably the top 7 or 8 needs. And then as a team, we independently, we ranked them. We ranked them in 2 different ways. What are their more of their felt needs? What do they perceive as their need? And then it was really important for us to discern. But what needs is God calling us to meet? Because when we start going down the line of our ministry, we always want to fall back and say, but you know what? Yeah, that's a need that they have, but you know what? God's not asking us to meet that need. That's going to have to get met somewhere else. This is really important, I think, for the building of a single adult ministry, because single adults are notorious, I found, to let you know when their needs aren't getting met. And so it's real important that you're able to have thought through what needs you are going to meet and what you're not going to meet. So that tool that you have in your hand might be helpful for you. It's also a wise thing to go to your people, give them a tool like that, or have them just label, what are your needs? If you could dream the most ideal single adult ministry in our church, what would it be like? Really important. Okay. And then number four, I've talked about this. I won't hit this too much. Determine the mission. Christina is going to hand out another sheet which has our mission statement on it. In one sentence, what is your call, our business, our aim, our unique contribution to fulfilling the organization's mission? Remember I talked about the deliverable, handing it off to the senior pet, putting it on his desk, saying, this is what we're going to deliver to you in the next 12 months. For us, this is what our deliverable is. This is what Bill Hybels has asked us to accomplish in this particular church. And by the way, this is what Bill Hybels is saying. Without you guys, this is not going to happen in the church. Nobody else is doing it. That's why we label it as a unique contribution. Okay, we'll try to get some more copies for you that don't have it. Throughout the next 12 months, we're going to constantly go back to our mission because it's so easy to float off and start doing some other stuff and you start thinking, now why in the heck are we doing that? Man, a lot of energy, but what are we all about? You go back to your mission. What is it that God's asking us to do? In the book of Nehemiah, his mission was to rebuild the wall. That was their mission. That drove them. That dictated everything else they were about. Our mission is to connect single adults into groups for the purpose of life change. In one word, discipleship. But see, our missions throughout single adult ministries, everybody's mission is different. Again, going back to the seven steps. At Willow Creek, you guys have seen, we put a tremendous amount of effort into attracting non-Christians into our building and bringing them to a point of salvation. Therefore, our pastor, Bill Hybels, is not asking a single adult ministry to evangelize single adults. We've got a lot of people who are already across the line. But what he's asking us to do is put those people into groups where they're discipling one another. That's the unique contribution that we bring to this church. If we don't do it, nobody's going to do it. We're going to have a bunch of immature Christians floating around this place doing nothing with their lives, except getting sidetracked. Now, if you get up close to our number one mission is to lead high school kids to Christ. They've got a different mission because our weekend services are not targeted for the high school student. So, that dictates a lot of their programming and what they do, attracting non-Christians. So determining that mission is really important. What are you all about? If you were to ask me over the next 12 months to come, sit down with you, talk about your single adult ministry, this is probably the very first thing that would come out of my mouth. I'd sit down and say, now tell me, what is your primary mission? What are you guys really all about doing? And if you could articulate that, you would be 90% ahead of the game. Okay, we're going to start cooking here. Number five, identify the target person. The target person defines what are the life stage, age, demographic, social, and spiritual status of the person we most want to reach. Even if you've segmented one age group, it's still important to say, now out of that age group, what is the one individual that we would really want to target the most? For example, in primetime, we've targeted the 27-year-old male believer. Their Christian maturity is on the low side. They're a Christian, but barely. So that's when we think about programming and the different types of events that we do, that's the person that we're kind of putting up there saying, now if we could attract that guy, then we're probably going to get all the others. But if we start targeting maybe for the 18-year-old or the 19, we're going to lose a lot of the other single adults who are more career-oriented. And the same thing's true if we aim too high in our age bracket. So for us, prime time, it's 27. Our focus ministry right now, they've identified their target person as 34 years old. So, identify the target person. Then determine the plan. How are we going to fulfill our mission? If you look at Nehemiah, from the time he said, let's build the wall, he said, are you guys going to be with me? They said, yeah. From that point on, he started developing his plan, his strategy. What are the environments, the opportunities, the programs? What is it that we need to accomplish our mission? I'm going to walk you through real quickly what we've identified in our single adult ministry up to this point in time, some of the big pieces. First of all, our plan is to minister to the single adults with three different type of programs. Very simply, large, medium, and small. Ultimately, we believe that the most optimum chance of discipleship, of accomplishing our mission, happens in a small group. However, what we've learned with single adults is that from the time they walk into the ministry, all of them are not ready to jump into this type of a small group. It's more of a process-oriented plan. We've also found that if you try to offer if you try to take away any one of these different pieces for single adults, you really hear them screaming out, so to speak. By large, I'm really referring to, let's just say, 150 plus. That's what we would consider to be large. Medium is, I'd say, anywhere from 20 up to 150. But typically, you know, at average, 60 people. Then small group is 6 to 10, with some exceptions of a little bit larger. But what we've seen is if we don't do anything with in a large group setting, pulling all the single adults together, they really miss it. And it does serve a particular need. Last year, I won't get into the details, but we strategically felt like we had to really take a good portion of our medium-sized events away, mainly because we wanted to put a lot stronger emphasis this last year on small groups, so we didn't have the resources to really attack this as hard as we had in the past. And so we pulled this out. We really heard about it. They really missed. We call it the congregational size gathering, co-ed. So our plan is to offer three different size events or different types of programs. Let me give you a couple of examples real quickly, and you might want to follow this up if you need to on some of the details of these events. But a typical example of a large event for, I'm just going to use prime time right now. For prime time, we just had a large event last Friday night, so I'm going to use that because it's fresh in my mind. We call it Prime Time Live. We offer this Prime Time Live event approximately once a month. We do some different things in the summer, but once a month, it's a front door event. Purpose is anyone and everyone could come. It's not heavy on the spiritual growth, spiritual learning. We call it step one. If you're new, come on out. If you've been around for a while, you can come out too and meet some people. We divided it in two parts that particular night. First part was a staged section. It was about an hour long, featured a band, some music that prime timers would enjoy. We had a dance team that people liked, some drama, some video footage. It was a very contemporary single adult staged performance. Afterwards, we dismissed them and we went into that large atrium area and we had our own version of a karaoke party. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's kind of a thing. They have a stage and you get up there and they give you a microphone and they've got the words to all these songs that you can sing to and they'll play the music behind you. So, you know, any average Joe Blow can get up there and be a star. And it was just kind of a fun thing. We served refreshments. We had some other things going, some ping pong tables, some, you know, those basketball things you shoot, papa shots they call them. A lot of different things going on. Just a fun, social-oriented part of our night. We call that Prime Time Live. But the purpose of that is not just to have people come hang out. It's really to challenge them to take the next step in down our funnel, so to speak. But we've done literally over hundreds of different types of large events over the years. Medium-sized events. We've done a lot of different types of medium-sized events. We like to offer a variety of medium-sized events. So we might have an event that might be 100% spiritual in nature, like a prayer and share night. And it will typically be advertised on a flyer, Friday night, prayer and share at such and such a person's house. And that's what the night is. It's just worshiping, praying, Bible study, Bible teaching. That's one example of a medium-sized gathering. Another example might be a sport night, where again, it's more social in nature, where they might rent out the YMCA starting at 9 o'clock at night. From 9 to 1 o'clock, single adults are welcome to come out and just have a great time playing volleyball and racquetball and doing that kind of thing. So single adults really enjoy the medium-sized event as well. It meets their need. And then we really challenge people ultimately to be part of a small group. Now, I'm not even going to get into the details of small group other than to say, I think you're going to hear this throughout the conference, I recommend highly you attending the seminar that's offered strictly on small groups, because our small group ministry is uniform throughout our whole church. We're all doing the exact same thing. And so to really get an idea of what that's all about, you really need to take in the whole seminar. But a couple of the highlights, small groups are led by two leaders, a leader and an apprentice, volunteers. We ask that they have 6 to 10 people in them. They need to be about discipleship. They need to be about life change. We have different types of small groups, though, based on the affinity and needs that they have. So, for example, a group might come together because they all have a heart for prayer. And that's what brings that group together, and that's what they're studying, and that's what they're about, is prayer. We might have another group that's coming together to go through the basics of Christianity. They're all at that place. So there's a lot of different curriculum, a lot of different materials that are available. I think the latest list that we have was they could do 60 different types of things. But the common denominator is they all need to be about growing in Christ. We don't want people just, you know, studying the weather and that type of thing. But there's a lot of flexibility, there's a lot of variety in those groups. By the way, this small group ministry is patterned after the Meta Model small group. There's a book on it. It's called Prepare Your Church for the Future. It's written by Carl George. He's at a Fuller Seminary. And that's the model that we've adopted and are incorporating into our church. So if you want to get more details, you can even read that book. So anyway, that's our plan. That gives you a snapshot of what we do. But this is our plan. We know what we're doing. We know what we're going to offer. Now we're ready to take the next step and define our programs. Each one of these programs, we are going to meticulously go through and discuss. And under number 7, you see what the type, you see the types of things that we ask ourselves, and we write down so that our programs are intentional. We just don't have a program just to have a program. We want those to be as effective as possible. Single adults in this day and age, they're really seeking quality. And to the level that you are able to host a quality program is going to be determined in a large way the quality of person and ministry that you're going to have. If you just slap something together, boy, we've got some horror stories. You know, Jim Guth, who's one of my teammates, he was just telling me about his single adult ministry that he was exposed to. He came, he walked in. This is a single adult ministry. He can give you the details during Q&A. But they were sitting there carving pumpkins. It was deader than a doornail. There was nothing to it. It was low quality, is what Jim was trying to communicate. It's like, who wants to be part of that? Single adults are sharp people. They're professionals. And they're going to be attracted to sharp programs as well. So take time, think through them. And then let's just really fly through these last few. Calendar programs. Determine a marketing plan. Pretty self-explanatory. Articulate staff roles. And I should even add, not just staff roles, but key volunteer leader roles. That's a key to having a successful leadership team, is taking the time to sit down and articulate with the staff and the volunteers, what is it that you're asking them to do? Give them a target to shoot for. What would be success for a volunteer? To me, that's what has separated kind of nominal volunteer organizations and top-notch volunteer organizations. Volunteer organizations that make people winners. They allow people the opportunity to accomplish and to feel what it's like to get into the winner's circle, or seemingly those ministries or those organizations that have dynamic volunteer ministries. And then 11, allocate financial resources. Pretty self-explanatory. Put your money where you want your fruit to come from and assist it in that way. Set goals. Again, that's pretty self-explanatory. And then the final step is print a strategic plan. As you walk through these 12 steps, put it in print. I don't have it with me, but it's, even though it looks like it might be a lot, it really ends up being a very brief document. And that's a document you can lay on the pastor's desk. You get his blessing. It shows that you're a ministry that's going somewhere. You can put that ministry in the hands of your key volunteers and say, this is what we're all about. This is our plan. And you're going to be miles ahead of a lot of other groups. And if you have that, if you've taken the time with your key leaders to walk through those 12 steps, you are then, I believe, ready to do some serious damage. And again, as I close this portion, I have a real heartbeat, as I've shared, for single adult ministry here at Willow Creek. But I also have a heartbeat for the single adult ministries around the country. I have a vision to see single adult ministries become strategic become dynamic, become attractive, become relative, become ministries that if there are those John Bodines out there who are sitting in the bars and they're going out to the hottest spots on Friday nights and they're pursuing the cars and the money, that if I got something laid in my hand that was all about a single adult ministry, that it would be something that I might say, man, this might be something I might check out. And then if I went, it would be something that would be happening. It would be something that I would say, there's something here that I'm missing out on. And there are some sharp people here that have got something that I don't have. Those are the types of single adult ministries that we need to see springing up all over the place. And believe me, we struggle every year to do the best job we can at Willow Creek. We still fall short, but we're trying our hardest to do everything that we can do to have a ministry where any single adult can come in and have a desire, if they are so inclined, to plug into it. So that's the vision, and I hope that, I guess it's my challenge. You people have a lot of other options, you know, during this time. You can go to a lot of other seminars. I believe that you people are the ones who have a burden, whose heart beats for the single adult. It's us. So my challenge is that let's do whatever we can to sharpen ourselves as leaders, to come up with the best single adult ministries possible in the future.